This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Women in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today we welcome Mylene Klass, who's a pianist, a broadcaster, a businesswoman, and an influencer. We will be discussing democratizing classical music, how to deal with being underestimated, and how to form your own network. Hello, my name is Esther Abrami, and today we are at G&A Beers in London, and we're back for another episode of Women in Classical. And I have the wonderful and beautiful, stunning Mylene Klass next to me. Thank you so much for making the time to be here today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're extremely inspiring, and what I love about kind of following your life on social media, and it's lovely to actually meet in person, but what I love from following you on social media and what I found so inspiring is the fact that you're a mum of three, you're a radio presenter, you're social media, you know, doing so many things on social media, you're musicians, you're doing so many things. And honestly, I just look at you and I want to be like you later on, literally. So
exhausted. Thank you. Living on coffee.
But should we start at the beginning? I wanted to ask, how and why did you choose a career in music?
It's a funny one because I wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up in Norfolk, and when I was growing up, you didn't really have those choices as to A, being an astronaut or being a musician.
Don't know which one was the most realistic.
I don't know which one was. Do you know what? It was probably going to be easier to be an astronaut, to be totally honest. I'm from a very musical family. On my dad's side, there's six generations of classical musicians. So music was always in my family, but to make a career out of it, the only option that you had was, I suppose, to be like a concert pianist or something along those lines. And as we know, that's as rare as becoming an astronaut.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't realize there were so many options as well that I could go into. And it would have been so nice growing up to understand that actually the music industry is so varied and there are so many transferable skills. And especially now that you have got social media and you have got so many other jobs that didn't even exist 20 years ago popping up, it's really lovely to be able to use those skills.
Yeah. No, I totally see that. I think even I realized quite late that the amount of options that you have actually, you know, being a musician.
Yeah.
And, but even when I went into, to study at music college, even then I still had the vision of, okay, you're either, you know, doing chamber music in an orchestra, teaching or solo, and that's all.
That's
and
then, literally all they give you.
Exactly. And then you realize, oh, wait, there's so much more. And in a way, then everybody's kind of competing for that. And that's why it makes it a bit toxic sometimes, because there's so many people competing for the same thing when actually you can find your own voice, you can find your own way in doing something within music, but something a bit different.
I think it's interesting what you say, the word competing, because the way that music is structured in a traditional sense, you have your grades, you have your music conservatoires, you have people that can mentor you and decide whether you're going to make it or not. Yeah. And actually, it has to be way more fluid than that because it is so subjective. We're not going to, as much as we appreciate music, we're not like the exact same artists or the same composers or even the same way that something's performed. Yeah. And I think in classical music especially, I think there's so much intimidation. Yeah. And that's something as a mum and as a woman in music and as a performer that I would love to just see completely and utterly obliterated, banished, because it intimidates people. So the one kind of music, the style that they want people to embrace and come towards, is also something that they put boundaries up. People feel intimidated to see operas and orchestras perform. They don't know what to wear. They don't know when to clap. They don't know what an opus is. They don't know how long the piece goes on for, what the language is, what they're trying to say. They don't realize that music is like a pick and mix. If you don't like orchestral music, you might just like solo clarinet. Yeah. You might not like opera, but you might like solo piano. I mean, there's such a lot to choose from, but often because it's parodied, it's here's some women warbling Wagner, and if you don't like it, you hate classical music and you're uncultured and yet it's the most powerful medium. It's used in everything from, as you know, from movies all the way through to even televised talent shows, because it's the only form of music that can actually really, really grab really those heartstrings.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
But no one sells that into you. They just say, have you done your 8 hours practice today? And you just feel like you failed because you haven't, because there's only a select amount of individuals that can do that.
Yeah. No, I totally see that. I think there was a big moment of realization when I was studying at music college in my first year, where I felt, you know, I was just doing my practice and I felt so lonely because
you were locked in a room.
I was firstly locked in a room for many hours a day, but also the fact that I felt like I was preparing for just exams and, you know, as a goal to kind of who's got the best seat in the orchestra. And I just felt suddenly so, like I lost the love of music and why I was doing this for, because the whole idea was, you know, sharing was doing, and I wasn't doing that. And that's kind of how I started social media and the whole reason
I love your social media. I love what you do. You make it, it's not intimidating. And if you understand music at a certain level, you can dip in. And if you don't, you can dip in. Yeah. Music's meant to be for everyone. Yeah, in lockdown, we did music classes, and I thought it's really interesting because somebody said, I can't.
Amazing.
Well, that's really kind, because you know, these music classes went around the world. They became a part of the curriculum to many schools.
Yeah.
And somebody came forward and said, I can't believe I've worked so hard and you're giving these music lessons away for free. And I thought, actually, I can't believe that you think music isn't for everybody. The whole point is that music is for everyone, whether your level is banging on a tambourine all the way through to if you're playing Rachmaninoff. Yeah. It's for everybody. So we just put up extra lessons instead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that was great. I wish quite a few of those.
It's funny because I did my daughter's parents' evening and her teacher came online and said, we loved your online lessons. We've used them in class. And I thought, first, that's brilliant. And then I thought, hang on a minute. I'm sending her in for you to teach her, for me to teach you, for her to, the tail's wagging the dog. It's just, and then I just thought, you know what?
Yeah.
How brilliant. It means I must be doing something right.
On this note, I wanted to ask, what do you feel have been your biggest highlights in your career?
So I suppose the things that should have been like the quintessential standard highlights, like performing in front of the Queen, which is when I fell over. The Royal Variety Show. Always do a dress rehearsal. My clothes weren't ready and I performed and the cloak was so heavy I spun around and it took me with it. So that was it should have been a highlight. It became a low time, but it actually made me in retrospectively look back and think, well, if you can do that in front of the Queen, still stand and survive, it's great. Playing with the Royal Philharmonic, that's incredible. And then I walked out on stage and had a mind blank, you know, all these things that happen. But there's been some incredible performances where I just think, if it wasn't for music, I would never have been able to have these opportunities.
Yeah.
Playing with idols, Life Over Anthony's, Hans Zimmer at the piano, duetting, figuring out their ideas. People that I genuinely admire because they've brought music to a wider audience.
Yeah.
All the way through to actually being able to sit at a piano with my daughters and play with them. Yeah, those are real highlights, because I just think one day, you know, when I'm getting, you know, when I get to look back on my life, those are the things that are going to flash up. Those are the things that genuinely give me joy. You know, I've performed in front of 100,000 people at Hyde Park. It was incredible, but actually it becomes almost like a faceless sea of people. But when you get to do things that you're playing and performing with your children, and you know that's going to pass on to the next generation, and they have a genuine love of music, and it's not just classical music, but Dolly Parton, all the way through to Johnny Cash, different genres, 80s music, Baroque music. It's just wonderful to be able to pass that on.
Yeah, that's one thing that really shows in your videos. Whenever you have, you know, you're playing with your kids, it's the one thing is that you can see just the fun that they have, which is so lovely.
It's all been fun and games until we were doing a TikTok on a prepared piano. And so I said to the girls, do not touch the piano. I will show you how to do it. And we would talk about John Cage and making all of these sounds. And everyone was like, yes, mama, we won't touch the piano. Fast forward 2 weeks. And I'm like, what is that sound? And I'm like, oh my God. And there's all these screws and rulers and kitchen knives. And they were all in my piano. So yeah, no one listens to me in my house.
Fun surprise.
Yeah, that was really great. It was nice that they felt so inspired.
Yeah,
to
in a way. Yes, yeah. You've got to be careful about what you.
You've got to be careful. Yeah. So But it's lovely. That's something that, again, you know, the music industry, I think it's a phenomenal industry, but conservatoires and practice and that sort of level of how music is put together from grading all the way through to performance is one side of it. But there is also a huge business side to the music industry. And it would be really wonderful to continue to be able to get that message out there. I'd make sure that if my children want to go into that line of work, that I'm preparing them for both sides.
Because
I was not prepared. I don't know how you were.
No, I was not either.
How can you be prepared? It would take somebody who's in it to explain it to you.
Yeah. But then some people who are in it have their, you know, their own view of it. And sometimes that's, even if they tell you their own view, it's not at all what kind of you think of it or what you want to do. And
it's a business. Yeah. It's music business. Yeah. I think the biggest lesson I got as to how to navigate the music industry was when I was in a band 20 years ago. I came straight out of college and went into West End, and that was really nice and fun. And then I went into a band, and then suddenly I got it. Suddenly I saw how the business side of things worked, and it can be really intimidating. And then you actually realize, well, actually, okay, there are opportunities within this. And if you can find those opportunities, then they can do incredible things, from the marketing side of things, all the way through to the branding side of things. I've loved every minute of it, but it took a great deal of understanding how it works.
Yeah. On that subject, we all have obviously challenges in a career. Obviously it's an artistic career. So it's quite difficult and quite, you know, you don't really know what to expect, as I said. But I wanted to ask what have been your biggest challenges and how do you overcome them?
I suppose the biggest challenges are when you are marketing music, whether it's classical music or pop music, which I have done both. You kind of fall between the cracks because if you're not a purist, if you're not pure classical in the eyes of the purists, then there is without a doubt, there is a certain snobbery towards it. It's almost like trying to hold on to that music and keep it in its purest form, canonize it.
Yeah.
But in so doing, you're killing it. Yeah. You're stifling it, because actually you're then relying on bigger artists or more successful artists to subsidize your recordings and your performances.
Yeah.
So, if you want to keep it as it was performed in Baroque times, great, but also expect the same numbers.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to hit the big time, if you want to hit a larger audience and you want to make it accessible to a larger audience, then you have to 100%, you have to move with the times.
Yeah.
And you have to make it on no level can you consider it dumbing it down, which I think is the first incorrect the decision that they feel it is. And it really isn't. If anything, it's harder to make it palatable for a 20th century audience.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally see that about the, I think, they kind of expect you to be in a certain box. And I find that, which is as soon as you, even though I still completely see myself as a classical musician, all my training is a classical musician and even all my social media is about classical music. But yet, as you said, as soon as you do something a little bit, more, you know, kind of open and new, fashionable, trendy, you know, then suddenly you are in that middle section.
Yeah.
And they kind of want to push you completely to the other side, think, oh, are you just, you're not classical music anymore?
No, they wish to decide that they can't take you seriously. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. You know, you've done the hours.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So the judgment can come in its droves. It doesn't bother me one bit because I do the hours. I've done the hours.
Yeah.
And also I get the results.
Exactly.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I go home to the house that I bought with my music money and pay my bills using the talents that I have. I don't feel that they can undermine me anymore, but they most certainly tried to, especially from a young age where you do feel impressionable and someone just goes, here, wear this short dress, that will be enough to cross over.
Yeah.
You just think, as a woman in the music industry, you know, you underestimate all of us far too much, because actually we have to work twice as hard to stay on your level.
Yeah.
So to pass it, we're going to go even harder. And if we are going to go even harder, then you certainly can't underestimate us, because we know what we've done to get there.
Yeah. But I think it's such an easy thing to say, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure we all get it. We all get it.
We have many friends.
And it's just that thing, as you said, of, we know why you got here, or, you know, and it's just those comments which are so kind of easily said, and somehow they're still kind of accepted. Like, it's still like nobody seems to be so shocked by them, even though they are so shocking things to say. And so, you know, so it's really,
we're used to maybe hearing them and reacting on them, but I think there's a new generation that won't take it. My daughters won't. Yeah. They very visibly react when they hear such blatant comments, because it's something that's so alien to them, because they've been brought up by a working mom that works in that industry and is doing it. Yeah. So they'll hear or they'll see these comments being made, and you know, they almost laugh at it because they do know what goes into it. You can't fudge it.
Yeah, but that's nice. That's seeing the kind of thing you're, and younger generation kind of not accepting that. And
I just find it really sad, because it's almost like it kills itself off. The classical world is my world. It's my, you know, I've worked at Classic FM now for 17 years. I've had classical music in my life since I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of who I am. And I don't think it's going anywhere, but at the same time, you also do want it to move forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't always just have to be presented as movie music to make it accessible.
To make it, Anna.
You know, if you don't label it and if you just play it to a child who has no other ideas, no previous connotations as to what it could mean, or it's boring, or this is classical music. It's just music. Yeah. And you play it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
They accept it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing I saw even with social media, and it's just the fact that in depending on the way you introduce it, they will love it. And I was always kind of, I always grew up with the, you know, and was told, in the music industry, young people don't like classical music. And you hear that on repeat all the time. They don't like it.
Look at TikTok. Everything's sampled. It's classical music. Yeah. I mean, and also Einaudi's a god on TikTok. And it's brilliant to see. And so he should do. And when people make when people make classical versions of pop songs, again, it's wonderful to see that people have an appetite for that. And they don't suddenly then dismiss it because there are no words.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really admired. And I think the fact that, you know, classical music should be on social media, it should be on different platforms, on Insta, on TikTok, because that's where it's going to move forward. And if you don't like it, you're not going to like it anyway. But it actually just shows, if anything, it goes to show just how diverse and versatile it is.
It is, yeah.
And actually, classical music, let's remember, was the pop music of its time. Mm. There were many pieces that were written that were shunned by, let's say, the establishment, the purists then, who dismissed Mozart as being far too, that's too popularist, and don't even come at me with Papageno. There are so many of these pieces that people then just decided, not for us, far too progressive. Yeah. And now it's been a few hundred years, they're being canonized again. And that's actually going against just actually how incredible they were by canonizing these artists, these composers. They were hellraisers. They were irreverent. They were human. And you try to put them in a box and dress them up with a dicky bow and stick an opus number on them and put them in a hall, light a few candles, and you think that that's keeping them alive.
Making them,
just killing them.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, which women have inspired you in your life? It could be musicians or non-musicians, people close to you and your family.
Gosh, I love female artists. I think one of the first female artists that I saw who came to my music school was Evelyn Glennie. I just thought her fire, her energy was just exceptional. There have been female artists that I've performed to, with phenomenal storytellers like Dolly Parton. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. There are female artists like Beyoncé who clear a path and use every single kind of sample that they can, from opera through to hip hop, through to dubstep, what these women who don't see boundaries or barriers, they just see music and hear music and they just compile it all together. Alicia Keys, a phenomenally classically trained pianist who writes some of the most beautiful melodies ever. You've just got these women who are just smashing through the ceiling every single day.
And
people like yourself who are out there who are using social media to bring music to an audience that wouldn't necessarily have that chance to engage in it, and making it accessible, making it something that they don't feel intimidated by. You know, this is definitely the way forward.
Oh, thank you. And my last question, it's usually my favorite question of the interview. What advice or what thing would you wish to have known when you were growing up, and something that you might want to share to younger girls going into the industry?
Your voice counts. You have a voice, use it. And find other women that will listen to it if you know, those at the table aren't listening, because that is the only way that we're going to be able to move forward on this. It just takes one person who hears you. It just takes one person who hears you, who hears your ideas, who recognizes your talent, and it can spot that opportunity. Find your tribe. Find your tribe. It took me a long time to find my tribe, but I look at what my tribe is doing from music college now. Yeah. And none of the jobs that we were presented with are any of the jobs that any of us are doing.
Yeah.
And yet now it's quite ironic, because we are now alumni, recognized alumni of these music colleges that at the time were like, do you think any of you need to be doing that? And now it's like, would you like to come in and share
examples of
which is great, because you know what, the Titanic's turned around. They finally realized that actually it wasn't such a bad route that these guys wanted. But I suppose at the time we saw ourselves as, you know, we were quite renegade. We were going to go out there. But we've managed to find a foothold in a world that we weren't prepared for, from social media through to, you know, jobs that didn't even exist, even just editing. We can edit like demons because we've got timing.
Yeah.
We can hear where the music's meant to come in. It's like, it's not necessary. I didn't train. I haven't got it. You know, it wasn't necessarily a skill set that I had. But music, you know, music is such a phenomenal transferable skill, because it's not just, do you play the violin? It's the tenacity involved. It's the dedication. It's when you don't believe you can do it and everyone else has gone out and you're still hanging around in that practice room making it happen. It's the guts that it takes to walk out onto that stage. It's being able to read the audience and then in so doing, calibrate what you need to give more or less of. It's being able to, when you have so much self-doubt, still go ahead and forge a path for yourself. It's figuring out how to market yourself, how to present yourself. You know what? Underestimate a musician at your own risk. And a female musician at that, because we have to work even harder.
Thank you so much. Honestly, it was so inspiring talking to you. And
thank you
said so many
thank you for the good
things.
Thank you for all the good you're doing.
Thank you.